This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the more famouser Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing?
Only 10 left, Corey.
Are you going to do this at the beginning of every show?
Yeah, I started counting. That's wrong. That's not
I have
right
today number. And tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 days next week,
mm-hmm.
and I have 5 days in Surprise, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, because you're taking days off.
Yep.
I'm going home.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
9 days for you then.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's kind of nice, kind of fun that it ends. Your run ends in Surprise.
I think it's cool. Think I'll cry?
I do.
Think you'll cry?
No.
What if I kick you in your nads?
And
I
maybe.
Don't think he'll cry. I think he'll just maybe. Be in pain.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It could make tears go down his eyes.
His tear ducts are broken.
I remember my wife was not mad, but she was like, so it didn't look like you cried or anything. And I was like, no, that's good. I knew it was going to happen. And so like that wasn't the right answer, though. I was really excited.
Is this when your child was born?
No, when we got married.
Did you cry when your child was born?
No. Right. I was really excited. I don't think I happy cry.
That's how you named your child?
Noah tears.
Yeah.
Just something like that.
Are you crying? No.
I don't think I happy cry. Does everybody happy cry?
Do you sad
I think
cry?
So.
Yes. Look, when we... Okay, not to get super real and serious on everybody, but...
Let's open up that heart here, Kevin.
When we had the miscarriages, I was devastated by that, and we cried a lot together. And so, I don't think I happy cry.
Dude, that's fine.
Okay.
It's okay to not happy cry.
You're messed up. We're all messed up in our own ways. Obviously, we found out one of the ways you're messed up.
All a little broken.
You don't see joy.
Because of Jimmy Buffett had no happy cry.
Joy gives him no happiness. It's just acceptance. It's just like, yeah, that was what's
supposed
to happen.
It was supposed to happen. Yeah.
By the way, multiple people are saying we don't have audio on the YouTube or the fan cam.
Oh, sweet.
It's all right. We got people working.
Okay.
On it.
Okay. Like. Best people.
You can
top
hear
people?
Me tomorrow.
I mean, it's Carter. So yeah,
I'm sure we can fix it today. I just was
Carter's
responding.
Best people I know.
That
today's
is true.
Almost over.
Okay. My God. You're not going to do this to me. You're not going to hijack the first segment like he did yesterday.
Okay.
Give me cut number one, Alec. Please keep the show on track.
A bit.
And now the 3-2. Swing and a drive. Well hit ball deep right field. Oh. Leon going back looking up, and this ball game is tied. Corey Seager launches his 23rd home run of the season to make it a 2-2 ball game.
All right, this is a spectacular day in human history. This is the day Maxine was born. This is the day my mom was born. And this is the day that the Lord has made. But also
Derek Lively.
The day that Derek Lively was born.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me his foot's healed.
No, well, that would be great. and we would finally have a big again. But pitchers and catchers for the Rangers report to spring training. Gentlemen, this always felt like, obviously, Mike, your entire life revolved around this for years and years and years. This feels like the official start of baseball season, even though you won't get like the full squad together for another, I think it's 8 days or
Abraham
whatever.
Lincoln's pretty much Monday, too. Right? Monday's their first full workout, I believe.
Okay, I could see that.
Yes, it was a big day. This was a day that maybe I would shed a tear of sadness knowing that I was leaving my family for about 8 months.
Yeah.
But at the same time, joy because you put in that off-season work to now start the process of, it's like the beginning of hopefully your off-season work proving that you've improved in areas you felt like you needed to improve in. Also, I think that this Metroplex needs the Texas Rangers good at baseball so bad.
Yeah.
I think more than ever in the history of Dallas-Fort Worth, this team, this Texas Ranger team, needs to be good. And if it is, you will find so many Cowboy fans and Maverick fans, not saying they're changing from those teams, giving more attention to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing, at least right now, that hasn't felt like a major disappointment or destruction of a franchise.
Yeah, and so obviously
Jacob DeGrom will not throw today.
Oh, my God.
Because He threw yesterday.
Oh, okay. Because it feels like the Cowboys are in shambles. Or not shambles. They're in mediocrity mode. They've been in mediocrity mode last year. It looks like that might be the case for a couple of years. Going forward, the Mavericks made a huge trade that most people didn't like. And then the marquee asset you brought back got hurt in the first game. I know the Stars are rocking and rolling, but right now you're also sitting on a no hockey for a week and a half. NHL hockey. I know we've got the Four Nations. I desperately want the Rangers to be awesome every year, but man, it feels like this year, like, let's just start 16-0 or something.
Mike, every 16-0, that sounds fine. Yeah. 24-0. Sounds good to me. 162-0.
That's too much pressure. I say no. That's too much pressure.
But every year for this, every one of those players has something different they're walking into, right? Like DeGrom is, I mean, just think about his story walking into it. He knows he needs to pitch. There's that pressure on him to do it.
Sure.
But it's also, there's a lot of pressure from himself. Ivaldi's got a whole different slate of pressure on him as he's kind of like, how much of this load do I carry before I get to take a load off? Corey Seager, very robotic, obviously, but he has, you know, he wants to be healthy. Health is his key thing. It's Marcus Semien, what's he working on? What's he trying to adjust to? You just talked about Adolis yesterday. It's amazing how all these guys come into the clubhouse with a thing they need to work on, something that they got to be better at. But as Mike said, things they worked all off season to prepare for this as they get rolling.
The only person, to your point, that I would say, if he stays the same, it would be tremendously awesome. And that would be Josh Smith.
Yeah.
Now, he got to play a lot more in a weird way. I know this sounds bad. I'm hoping he doesn't play as much. That being said, I know that they're going to find what, if he's doing what he did last year as the second best hitter on the team, arguably, to Corey Seager, is they'll find ways to get him on the field.
Yeah.
Whether it's DH, whether it's third base, shortstop, second base, left field, filling in different roles. But that's the, to your point, Corey, it's the only player I can think of off the top of my head that you would say, just do exactly what you did last year, and that would be tremendous.
Because Wyatt Langford, you're still asking. I mean, last year's spring training was spectacular. Yeah,
but you need him to take a step up.
There's a growth that he has to have.
I want him to have a 30-20 year.
There you go.
Just in, and though that's basic stats, 30 homers, 20 stolen bases. That, to me, is what he can do this year.
And then Evan Carter, like, he feels like he has to rebuild. Yeah. You know, a lot of things this off season, and then this spring training. So, but Kevin, as you said, exciting time because even Bill Russell was born on this day.
Oh man, this is a powerhouse.
This is a very
day.
Powerful day.
So, a couple of questions for you, and we can go through them one at a time. Or if you're like, no, I think that's wrapped up. What does super utility mean? And that speaks to what you said about Josh Smith, who hits leadoff. Who plays center? Because I get, ideally, healthy Evan Carter is ready to rock and roll and takes over center and, like, let's do that. But who plays center and who hits leadoff? Do you think both of those are still technically works in progress?
I don't with who hits leadoff.
Okay.
I would like it to be.
Simeon again.
I do think they're just going to go Simeon, Seager, Langford. I think that that is set in stone as long as everybody's healthy coming out of spring training. I don't think Boach is going to change that or Chris Young is going to want that change for now. I could see it as the season progresses. Maybe they make a decision.
Do you think they would experiment in spring training? Because you've talked about, depending on how safe you are in the team, this could be the time for experimentation.
It's so rare that you play your, let's say, 7 to 9 regulars in a spring training game.
That is true.
Because I can give a guy 4 at-bats today at 10 a.m. on the backfield batting first in the first inning, second inning, third inning, and fourth inning. There's no rules back there that it has to be played exactly like a Major League Baseball game. When you're on the spring training field and you pay to get into the game, it's played for the most part like a real game. I can't fiddle fart with the lineup and say, well, Corey Seager, I need him to get 3 at-bats today. Is it okay if I just have him hit second in the first inning, second inning, and third inning and then be done? No, he has to hit in the lineup. The only time it gets wonky is when you get to the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. If you've ran out of pitching, stuff like that, you can say, hey, the game's called after 8. Literally, the team that traveled here does not have anybody left to pitch. And what was your other one? Center field. I think there's a small competition there. I get what MLB.com, Kennedy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The Landry is riding. I totally get it.
Evan Grant threw this out there as well.
I don't think it's a competition. Okay. I think as long as Evan Carter is healthy, he's your center fielder.
Is this Justin Foscue's year?
Is he still here?
I don't think so.
No, he's not? Okay.
Well. Honest to God.
It says he's on the active roster.
Okay, good.
On the
I couldn't remember.
Oh, I meant I don't think it's his year. I'm sorry. I don't think it's his year.
I mean, we were talking about bats yesterday. He's a right-handed bat.
He can't play defense anywhere. Yeah. So if you're on the bench, what do I do with you if you can't play a position?
I think last year was his year.
That was his year.
The opportunity was there. And unfortunately, because we talked to Foscue, good dude. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. And now I think... Look, all of this, of course, with the caveat of if people get hurt, then opportunities develop. But assuming that doesn't happen, I don't think I see a clear path for him, honestly, at all before injuries.
To your point, Corey, if there's something that you like from a rebuilding team, mm-hmm. I'm just throwing out the Chicago White Sox. I have no clue what Will Venable thinks of Justin Foscue. No clue. But he does know who he is. He saw him last year in the major league, saw him last year in spring training. Maybe Will's like, hey, this kid Foscue doesn't have a spot on the Texas Rangers. He's almost out of options. We're obviously searching for major league players. What if we did this for that? And the Rangers might look at it and go, yeah, we'll take this because we don't see any spot for Foscue in the future. I can't tell you where in the world would he ever play here. How is he even on the bench here? Injuries, yes. But if I have Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran, how does he beat out those two guys? They're much better defensively, and right now they're both better offensively, even though Zeke struggled tremendously last year.
And so your 1-9 right now are Major League Baseball players.
It's a stud. Like
they're not,
it's a stud lineup.
They're not a bunch of guys that you're like scrambling to hope they can play baseball. These are Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And then
that's the way, Kevin. Trade Foscue, and then finally Walcott gets his shot.
Finally, oh my gosh, I feel like we're really rushing him if that happens.
I mean, that'll be fun that we're there in February because Walcott will probably start a game or get to play like the last 4 or 5 innings of those games.
I definitely agree with that. I don't want to dive back into the closing thing right now because I know we've talked about that. We'll get back into it. But the first question that I saw going into spring training that Evan Grant threw out, that this is kind of like, this question can mean whatever you want it to mean. How do they get their groove back? And like, honestly, it feels like stay healthy. And
Stella,
I think,
right?
Yes. Well, you
Stella Artois.
Yeah. But also, if they stay healthy, oh yeah, double meaning. I like it. I think that it will take care of itself. Like, I honestly, really and truly believe that.
Yeah, I know that their first two series, home against Boston at Cincinnati, I expect those two teams to be very competitive this year. I think Cincinnati could surprise a lot of people. I think Boston was a 500 team last year who I think in the offseason got a little bit better. So it's not going to be easy, but boy, if you get off to a start where you take 3 of 4 at home against Boston, and I believe it's a 3-game series in Cincinnati, you take 2 of 3, you win those first two series. That would mean not only so much to the groove thing because it's like, all right, we're off to a good start. Last year, they actually did get off to a good start.
Yeah.
They're 22-17 till that Colorado series, and then that ended. The Rangers playing good baseball the rest of the year for the most part. And so those are two big series. And like I said, to reiterate, the Rangers have something here. If they can get off to a hot start, this town, I hate saying this. I'm not trying to dog these teams, but I think we want to forget about the Cowboys and Mavericks.
Yeah.
Not forever. I'm not saying you're going to remember the Cowboys when it comes, draft. And you're going to remember the Cowboys when it comes July, August for training camp. But I think mentally people here are like, I need the Rangers to be good because I can't stand what the Mavericks and Cowboys have become.
Can I tell you, I'm one of those people.
I am
like,
too.
We all were born and raised in the Metroplex. I'm totally one of those people. I mean, look, it was a shocker. I don't like the Luka trade either. But what the Cowboys have become is so frustrating and infuriating because it feels like there's a path out and they're like, man, we're not interested in that. I love the Stars and I love the Rangers. The Stars are holding up their end of the bargain so far. I would love it if the Rangers surged to start the season because we all need that.
You have the star, you have the clouds, the sun.
No, I'm not.
That's what we need. We need the Stars in April and May and Sky. We need the Rangers in April and May.
Yes.
And everything will feel better here.
Yes.
You know, the sky's blue because the shortness of the... Never mind, Kevin. The wavelength of this... Yeah, the color. It's a long story.
Did you say the wavelength of the color?
Yeah, that's right. The shortness of the length of color is the reason the sky's blue because it can disperse. I just watched West Wing. They were telling me about it.
Okay.
Long story.
We're the KNC masterpiece right
Sounds
here
good.
On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next... Ranking the NFL quarterbacks who haven't won a Super Bowl that play right now. How does your top five look? Next on The Fan.
Bills in the red zone. Allen keeps it himself right up the middle. Josh Allen at the five. Takes it in. Touchdown. His 57th career rushing touchdown.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is that number one on your list? Could it be Josh Allen? The quarterbacks in the NFL who are playing right now who have yet to win a Super Bowl, like what?
Caleb Williams.
Is he in your top five?
Oh, he's one of the quarterbacks that's playing right now that has not won a Super Bowl.
I'm specifically looking for who would be in your top five for this group.
Cooper Rush, obviously. Right behind Dak.
All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you.
DiNucci.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I don't know. You might say Josh Allen. That's the highlight.
I think Josh Allen would certainly be in the top five.
Lamar.
I feel like that is fair.
This is winning or getting to?
Just the best that haven't won a Super Bowl.
Okay, then Joe Burrow.
Just the best ones. Okay, yeah. How would you stack that right now, though?
I'll stack it by the year they were drafted. And then how high they were drafted. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's the way I would stack it, those three.
All right.
Two drafted in 2018, one drafted in 2020.
Okay, where do you go after that?
This is tough because the next quarterback on the power rankings at the end of the year was Jared Goff. And I don't necessarily... Ben Johnson did a remarkable job of being able to... have an explosive offense without a mobile quarterback. Every other quarterback in the league, except for maybe Dak, is like mobile enough to be able to escape and get 10 yards whenever necessary.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff is not necessarily that guy, but somehow Ben Johnson had one of the most explosive offenses without that. So I give Ben Johnson a lot of credit for what they accomplished this year. I don't think Jared Goff is that high.
Okay.
Although that offense was that good. So I guess the next person would be Jaden Daniels for me.
Ooh, spicy. I like it.
Played 1 year.
Yeah. Jordan Love? I'm not going with Baker Mayfield. I'm not going with Darnold. I'm not with Purdy either.
What about Stroud or Herbert?
Stroud let me down this year.
Fair.
I'm hurt by it. And Herbert just has not... He hasn't found himself yet.
Okay.
And as strong as that arm is, as live as it is, until the thing in between the ears gets better and the decision-making, and maybe even Quentin Johnson dropping most of the passes he threw to him in that one game, like that hurts.
Sure.
Until he gets that going, I can't believe in him.
What about Dak?
What are you doing, man?
I'm just asking questions.
It would help his career tremendously. I don't think he can do it.
Okay. So you guys agree Allen 1, Lamar 2, Joe Burrow 3.
That's like tier 1. That's
by
the tough thing.
A lot, right?
And it's like, all right, now name 4 and 5. The 4 and 5 don't come close to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I guess my 4 and 5 would be the next up and comers, and that is Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Those three
named are weird because I don't know if they'll make the Hall of Fame, but they have a chance to make the Hall of Fame without ever winning a Super Bowl. That's how good their careers are going.
I agree with that.
And now we get to, I think, tier two almost does have to be prospects.
Okay.
Because Brock Purdy's still a prospect. He's in year four. He's going into year four.
Do you put him in number four?
Well, I think at this point, if let's just say I know he's up for an extension, that'll be a major talking point.
Yes.
I think in the offseason is I look at it and go, if he wins the Super Bowl, he gets like $63 million a year.
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs again and he stays pretty healthy, he's probably going to be a free agent.
I can't rely on Tua. Because
Forgot about Tua, honestly.
As good as he is, that happens.
Yeah.
And as good as that offense can be, that defense lets them down plenty. Sure. So I can't. And when Kevin, let's be realistic with Dak. By the time he's 35, we might be looking at it going, they've rebuilt it the right way and they're ready to go.
Like that could be true.
4 years from now. He's already 31 years old. We know what he is, and he's declining at this point.
Yeah.
And he might, and I'm, listen, man, he can look me in the eye and say, I'm not. That's fine. I hope you feel that way.
Sure.
If you're on the field and you're representing my team, I hope you feel like you're the best and that nobody's going to be able to kick your butt. But what we're seeing is that declining part of it. They have to build too much for me to believe that he's willing. I just feel like he benefits mostly from the team rather than elevating that at this point.
So CBS weighed in on this list, and it did feel like the same conundrum you guys are in. So they went Lamar 1, and then Josh Allen 2, and Joe Burrow 3. So they had 1 and 2 flipped, but they're in agreement with you that it's the 3, and then there's a pretty big drop-off. So at 4, they went Jared Goff, and at 5, this is where I don't particularly agree with this at all, Dak Prescott, followed by Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, and Justin Herbert.
Jaden Daniels' team is built. Like it's they're and they have what $100 million to add to it.
Something
this
ridiculous.
Something
yeah,
crazy, 60 million.
I mean, it says 82 on USA Today.
Somewhere between 60 and 100 million.
Yeah,
And like they have money to add to this. So if they wanted Oso Digizuo this offseason, they can do it. You know, if they wanted to take Jordan Lewis and Osa, bam, they can add those pieces to it. And they're drafting. You know, and they're adding to it via their draft. So they're in prime position.
I think they're going to go after the Bengals' number two receiver.
T. Higgins, which would be smart. Him and Terry McLaurin together would be, oh my gosh.
And I think this might be the direction y'all are going, but let me reframe the question of these six. Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Justin Herbert. Assuming one of them does, which one in that group wins the Super Bowl next?
Jaden Daniels.
I don't mind that answer.
Yeah.
I do think I think CJ Stroud has a shot. The problem is our first three guys are all in the AFC.
Yep. And that's not even including Patrick Mahomes.
Both of those guys that you just named are both going to have new offensive coordinators this year. And how do they respond to that? Is whoever replaces Ben Johnson going to be half as good as he was with Jared Goff? And then with Stroud, they were fantastic his first year. And then what happened? Was it offensive line or was it the offensive coordinator just couldn't get his S together? So they have that to go through. So those guys might take a dip this year.
Now, to go along with this, this is just fun and it's nonsense, but it amuses me. Fox Sports is like, hey, let's go ahead and predict the next 5 Super Bowls.
Deal.
The Cowboys are, I hate to tell you this, Mike, I know you're going to be shocked, they are not in any of these next 5 Super Bowls.
I don't know about 4 and 5 years from now, right?
That's just impossible.
But I think we can look. I know I'm the Cowboys hater. I think you can look at this Cowboys team and go, they pretty much have no chance to make the next 2 Super Bowls. Like, I would give them a 1% chance
with
to make the next 2.
With what they have to build, it's too much.
Yeah.
3 years from now, I'll give them a 5% chance.
Yeah.
And in years 4 and 5, I'll give them a 10 to 15% chance.
I think you're going to see the Super Bowl they predict in 5 years. You're like, okay, so we're just kind of guessing. Yeah. All right, so they have the next Super Bowl as what my son Brandon called the People's Super Bowl, Buffalo against Detroit.
How after watching what Philadelphia did this year, how can you not say they're going to be back? Like that, most of that team's going to be back now.
Just they have because a small of the injuries, window. I guess, for the Lions would be your counter okay. argument. All right. Maybe
they have a small window, or maybe it's a 2-3 year window. But they're going to have to answer to the salary cap at some point. But just like the Rams, they can answer to it real quick and turn it back around real fast. They've been aggressive like that. I just don't know how you can take them out of the mix after they were so dominant throughout the playoffs and throughout sure. and on their way to a Super Bowl.
Maybe they're going to party.
Maybe so.
Like they could not have the.
I mean, that happens to most teams.
It does.
Like most teams that we think are going to be back, for the most part, they struggle the next year with maybe the celebration of we did it.
I just feel like with the style that the Detroit Lions play and the style that their coach goes after, that 2 years that they've had, the last 2 years and fallen short, they're going to be questioning a lot of things this season.
Yeah.
And I mean, it happened to the Niners. They went really hard for a couple years. And their injuries stacked up again on them in season three.
Now, you mentioned the Eagles. Do you know how long it is until Jalen Hurts' contract cap hit gets above $50 million?
Does he ever?
Good answer, Corey. The answer is he does not. He is under contract through 2028.
This makes sense.
His cap hit next year is $21.9 million.
How?
And then it's 31. How?
How did they do that?
Because what a bold idea. They gave him a contract extension while he was still under his rookie deal, which allows you to fidget with the money in a variety of ways that the Cowboys were like, that's stupid. Just give him the franchise tag. And that way you know exactly what the number is and you don't have to do anything. So to your point, they don't. All right. Super Bowl in 2 years, Ravens against the Eagles. In 3 years, Chiefs against the Commanders. 4 years, Bengals against the Packers, and then 5 years away per Fox Sports. We're just having some fun with things. The Washington Commanders against the New England Patriots.
Drake May.
Settle down just a little bit.
Okay, sorry, Jerry. That's fair.
They're giving Vrabel some credit on that one.
I mean, and they have $120 million in cap space, give or take.
Dang.
Now, I just want to point out, if everyone hopes in the year 2029 that the Cowboys are going to look at this and be like, well, hold on. The Patriots were really good, and then they really weren't. And then they got a new coach, and then they got a new quarterback that they drafted, and they saved a whole bunch of money, and they built a damn fine team around him. Remember what we said yesterday, and I don't know, for the past 10 years. The front office does not seem to learn lessons like that.
I'm sure they will this time, though.
No, they won't. They definitely will not.
Can't prove that.
That I guess that is true. I can't.
This is the life we've chosen.
Yeah, do you understand? Jerry woke up at 3 a.m, and as soon as he got up from where he was at, he started working on the salary cap and the roster. And he was like, I had a meeting yesterday with Inside Edge. It was awesome on all the information you could possibly have for a baseball game or for a baseball season or for your other teams. I'm sure there's an Inside Edge for football. And he woke up at 3 a.m. and he was on that website till 7 a.m. working for 4 hours. Then he probably got his workout in. He probably Pelotoned it up and made sure he got his stretching in and everything. Got his Mickey D's for breakfast. Threw some extra salt on there because he had a good workout, so he needed some more sodium. And then he went right back and he's like, you know what? I study 4 hours on this website of all the players. Now I study the next 4 hours on a college website, looking at all the college players. Then he has lunch. Then he studies for 2 hours on all the players in that XFL thingy, whatever it's called.
UFL now.
Yeah, he knows it. I don't. And then he looks at all of those possible players because he's trying to find the next Aubrey or Turpentine. That's what he's doing.
Okay.
I don't know how you cannot believe in a 3-time Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer, and you don't think that he's putting in the work?
Mike, you're going to think I'm a no-good bastard for saying this. I do not believe that they wake up at 3 a.m. and start doing free agency stuff. I just don't think that's what's happening. And then I like this text. This feels like somebody who gets our show from the 682. Sounds like what I'm hearing is 2030 is our year.
Maybe it will be. I mean, it's the year that the Mavericks moved to Las Vegas.
I do not know that to be the case.
Well, the lease is up in 30 here at the AAC. So we're assuming maybe 31 or 32 It'll be the Las Vegas Mavericks.
I am not going to go with that assumption.
Dak literally said...
I hope they change their name, don't you?
Our turn, and it's on us. He said that yesterday, so it is
based
our turn.
Based on what?
He's great at talking.
He also said they're right there with Philly, and they got outscored by them 89-12 this past year.
All right, just go to the next. Like if you're going to do that, Kevin.
Coming up next!
He's talking the talk.
We're trying to be positive.
This has a torn hamstring, the walk stuff.
For Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Can the Rangers starting pitchers be as good as the Mariners? Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Coach Schloss coming up from the University of Texas at 11. But right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right, yesterday I talked about the Rangers lineup, and yes. I love the lineup on paper, and it's what to do when you face lefty relievers, and obviously you're going to have a very different lineup, I think, when a left-handed starting pitcher is against you. But I want to go to the Rangers rotation versus the best rotation, I will say, in the American League.
Mariners.
They are also in the West,
yeah,
and that is the Mariners. Their projected rotation on opening day, as long as everybody's healthy, All-star Luis Castillo, all-star Logan Gilbert, I believe all-star George Kirby, future really great pitcher, and maybe made the all-star team last year, Bryce Miller. And then they got this guy named Brian Wu, who had a really good year last year, is their number five. Their number five starting pitcher last year pitched 121 and third innings, 96 hits, 13 walks, 101 strikeouts with a 2.89 ERA and a whip of .90.
Wow. Yes.
That is arguably their best, and they have them projected as starting the fifth game of the year.
Wow.
Now, I just gave you their number five starters numbers, and I think they're interchangeable. I don't want to say they have five number ones. That's too extreme. But they have five really good to great starting pitchers.
I wanted Castillo so bad a couple of years ago. Like, I was like, this dude is a strikeout pitcher here.
Yeah. He
was fourth in innings pitched for them last year. At 175 and a third.
Oh, wow.
When I go to the Rangers, Nathan Eovaldi led the team in innings at 170.1 or .2. So this is
fourth.
The Rangers' second best starting pitcher last year was Andrew Heaney, who's still a free agent, but probably not going to be on the Texas Rangers.
What do you think? That the value or the price continues to go down the closer you get to spring training.
I think it gets to one-year deals. We saw this last year,
yeah,
right? I think that's the problem is I love Andrew Heaney, and I think he can be a very nice pitcher in a rotation or in a bullpen during a season for a team. I'm assuming this. It's only assumptions. He's looking for a three-year deal, and teams aren't giving him three-year deals. So they're waiting him out till, let's say, March 1st when guys like Andrew Heaney we'll take a one-year $12 million deal. That way, you're not locked into him for a long time. I don't like that for Andrew. I think he deserves better, but I think that's what teams are doing with free agents that are still free agents today is they're looking at him going, we like these guys. We only like them on one-year deals.
I know the Rangers do not have money for this right now. Do you like, whether it's the Rangers or any other team, do you like the value then of Andrew Heaney? I think the answer is yes.
100%.
On one-year, $10 to $12 million.
100%. I think he's worth $15 million, and maybe there would be a team out there. I don't know. I'd have to look at everybody's rotation. Obviously, like the Mariners don't need him. The Rangers could use him, but I think they would use him more as like that sixth man.
He's not a closer, right?
No.
Because he doesn't have the stuff?
I don't think he does. Closing is tough. There's not 30 closers in Major League Baseball. So now we're saying, well, John Gray might or Andrew Heaney maybe.
Yeah.
I am curious about John Gray. I've told you that before.
No, for sure. But like, I mean, when you get to the end of the year, you're like, are there 20 closers in this league you would trust?
Right.
The answer is usually no. Usually you get to about 15 and you're like, okay, I can trust number 13, 14 maybe, you know? I mean, so usually half of teams in Major League Baseball struggle to have a guy they like in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, let me get to this stat for the Seattle Mariners, which, look, the Rangers bullpen, I just don't know. I just don't know what it's going to be like. I don't love it on paper, but you know what? You can like a lot of teams' bullpens on paper, and they struggle.
Sure.
So paper is really tough, especially with bullpens. So let me give you this stat for the Seattle Mariners. Last year, I can't believe they weren't a better team when I give you this stat. out of their five starting pitchers, okay, and obviously they didn't all stay healthy, but Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, and Bryce Miller pretty much stayed healthy all year. And Luis Castillo made 30 starts.
Yeah.
So Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, 33 starts. That's the max you can make if you stay healthy. So Luis Castillo pretty much missed three starts if you wanted to get the maximum amount of starts in a season. Bryce Miller had 31 starts. Brian Wu had 22 starts.
Okay.
They had 88 quality starts from those five guys. Five guys in their rotation. Now, they stayed pretty healthy. If I add Emerson Hancock, who pitched near the end of the year with 12 starts, he had four quality starts. That gives them 92 quality starts from their six starting pitchers last year.
Holy moly.
92 out of 162 games.
And you're like, how did they not have a better record?
Yeah, I don't get it. Now, obviously, their offense struggled tremendously last year. Now, that's all the quality starts they got. There's only six guys that got a quality start, but they did get 92. Would you like for me to tell you, or would you like for me to guess how many quality starts the Rangers got last year?
21.
Oh my God, it's got to be higher than that, right? 60.
54.
All right.
But if we look at the Mariners, it's a big gap. 54 to 92. Now, the Rangers had quite a few guys get a quality start, like Dane Dunning, 2. Jose Urena, 3. Max Scherzer, 3. John Gray, 7. Andrew Heaney, 7. Cody Bradford, 8. Michael Lorenzen, 8. Nathan Eovaldi, 16. When I put Nathan Eovaldi on the Mariners, he finishes fifth in quality starts.
That's and he's by enough. Far
22 for yeah. Gilbert, 20 for George Kirby, 20 Ooh. For or sorry, 18 for Bryce Miller, 18 for Luis Castillo, and 10 for Wu.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the Rangers bullpen. Now, do I expect the Mariners to stay this healthy and to get 88 quality starts from five starting pitchers? Probably not. Yeah. That's probably not going to happen again. But I will say this, offensively on paper, the Rangers look better than the Mariners. On a piece of paper, their rotation, the Mariners looks better. But on paper right now, I'm looking at Jacob DeGrom. I'm looking at Nathan Eovaldi. You know, you start getting to, I don't know what Tyler Mahle's going to be. I honestly have no clue what he's going to bring to the table this year.
And this isn't related to the Rangers specifically, but aren't the Mariners the king of paper champions?
100%.
Yeah.
They still haven't won the division since 2001, since I was a rookie in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
So I look at this and go, but the Rangers have to get a lot better in starting pitching.
Yeah.
A lot better than what they were last year. And on paper, look, right now they have Kamar Rocker, Jack Leiter not slated to be in the rotation. But all it takes is an injury in spring, which will probably happen, and Rocker's in the rotation. Or they decide John Gray's going to be the closer. I just don't know when you make that decision. March 10th? Do you go, we got to start training him to be a closer. The dude's never thrown in, as far as I know, he's never thrown in back-to-back days in his life. We might want to start training him to be a one-inning, ninth-inning guy if that's what we want to do.
And that conversation or elements of that conversation would have had to have at least taken place by now,
They
right?
have taken place.
Okay.
They just don't want to limit John Gray
I
to,
gotcha.
What if, I'm just I giving gotcha. You a what if, Tyler Mahle can't make it to start the year.
Yep.
Nathan Eovaldi's having some arm issues, and they're like, we're going to give him a week or two in the regular season to make sure he's ready in spring training. And you're like, what about John Gray? Like, we can't start. He only pitched seven innings in spring training because we were throwing him one inning at a time, getting him ready to be the closer. So you lost that opportunity. I can always bring a guy back to being a reliever. That's easy as saying, you're just not going to pitch one inning every other day.
Yeah.
I can't go, well, you've been trained to pitch one inning every day. Go now throw five innings tomorrow. It's impossible to do. If you don't understand baseball and arms, it's just impossible to do. It would be telling Usain Bolt, I know he doesn't run anymore, Usain Bolt, he's going, hey, I need you to now go run a half marathon. You're like, I don't run a half marathon. I'm a sprinter.
Yeah.
You know, like it would take me a long time to train and maybe I'm not, you know, ever going to be able to do it. So I look at this and go, with the Rangers bullpen, the Rangers starting pitching has to get closer to what the Mariners were able to accomplish last year. I understand they're not going to get as lucky to have six starting pitchers pretty much like the Mariners did. There's probably going to be 10 starting pitchers for the Rangers. The five that you name on the website, I know I'm out of time here. I got to hurry up. DeGrom, Evaldi, Gray, Bradford, Malley is what they have as the Rangers starting five. Is it going to be exactly in that order? I don't know. But we know that probably Dane Dunning's going to get a start here and there.
Yeah,
we know that, Rocker's going to get, I think, at least 10 starts, if not 20. I hope he gets 25. I hope that he does great in spring training and he stays pretty much healthy all year and you get 25. Jack Leiter's probably going to get 5 to 20 starts. I know that's a big range, but he's going to get some starts too. And then there might be a guy here and there that I'm just forgetting that's a guy who's pitched in the big leagues, who's a big league invite, who starts off in AAA and comes up and like Urania last year.
Yeah, gets he came in a couple times.
7
clutch.
To 10 starts, yeah. You know, type of deal. So the Rangers have to get, on paper, I like their rotation. It ain't the Mariners, but they have to get a lot closer to the Mariners because wouldn't it be great if you took a little bit of pressure off of a bullpen that Bruce Bochy said at the winter awards, I really don't know these guys.
Yeah.
He has, starting today until March 25th, he has that much time to get to know these guys and try to figure out how he's going to use these guys in big time situations against the Boston Red Sox on March 27th through the 31st.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Texas baseball head coach Jim Schlossnagel next right here on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.